let's talk about Wicker Man.
The greatest horror occult film of all time.
Wikipedia says it's the Citizen Kane of horror movies. They wouldn't lie, would they? Would Wikipedia lie to you? No. I actually do believe that to be true. I think this is the greatest horror movie of all time. Nah, it depends on which subgenre you prefer. I, of course, obviously enjoy the occult pagan variety, the folk horror. And I believe this might be the best one of all time. Never get tired of watching it. I've probably seen this movie 5,000 times. What is it? Well, we're going to go through that today. We're going to talk about the main character, Sergeant Howie. He goes to the island of Summer Isle during the May Day celebration, investigating the death of a young girl. It turns out this island is the pagan nation. It is the recollection of the Druids and the Celts. It's almost a musical, this film. I'm actually shocked we haven't seen it on Broadway. If you've seen the film, you know what I'm saying. The soundtrack is very lively, very, very entertaining. So we'll go through this whole film. Plot definitely to be spoiled, so if you are sensitive to that sort of thing, turn away now. Watch the movie. It's only been, 56 years. Time to watch it. Is that right? 56 years? Let's see. 30? Almost. Well, no. It's like almost 46 years. A little off.
I could a tale unfold whose lightest word would harrow up thy soul, freeze thy young blood.
I am here to investigate the disappearance of a young girl. Where is Rowan Morrison?
If Rowan Morrison existed, we would know of
him. I suspect murder.
But Sergeant, I've already...
In the name of God, woman, what kind of mother are you that can stand by and see your own child slaughtered?
You are the fool, Mr. Howie.
You're liars. You are despicable little liars.
God in heaven, even these people can't be that mad.
Where is Rowan Morrison?
If Rowan Morrison existed, we would know.
I suspect murder.
She was burnt.
You are the fool, Mr. Howard.
Where is Rowan Morrison?
Oh my God!
So, yeah, we're going to break down the plot. We're going to talk about the symbolism, the pagan occult symbolism in there. We're going to reveal to you why the corn rigs are Bonnie and the connections to Burning Man, obviously. Obs. We're not even going to mention the Nicolas Cage film from the 2000s. Could be the worst film of all time. I don't know why they did what they did to this movie. You gotta leave it alone. We'll talk about the connections and the disconnects that Anthony Schaefer took with this film versus David Pinner's book, The Ritual, that it is very loosely based off of. I mean, you can see I read the book, and if you read the book, you can see the connections are very clear. It's very much the same as the film, but then things in the book aren't necessarily how they happen in the film. And we'll kind of explain that too, so I will be spoiling the plot of the book as well. So if you had a burning desire to read The Ritual, do that now. It's an okay book. It's fine. So while I got your attention, I do want to give big ups to Darthiest, who left a great review on Amazon for my book, The Dark Path, my latest book, my greatest book, which actually has a lot of clarity it could provide for our discussion today on Wicker Man. So if you haven't read it, I advise you to do so. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it on Audible. You can get it on Audible for free if you're a new customer. Go on there, sign up for the free trial. All the things. You can get it on patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher, like all of the great Patreon supporters I've got right now. Thank you very much if you're listening, because this is a critical component to keep this sort of discussion alive, right? But anyways, Dartheus left a review on Amazon, and it's very relevant, actually, to today's podcast. Dartheus says, amongst other a nice little paragraph, but I'm going to pull one of the sentences out. I believe the Holy Spirit and a strong faith are needed to discern such ideas. Well put. As we'll see when we explore the world of Wicker Man. So here we go. The whole movie is about a police officer, a detective, going to the island of Summer Isle to investigate the disappearance of one Rowan Morrison. She is a 12-year-old girl. She's been missing for over a year. Now, right off the bat, we see how uncooperative the town folk are when they pretend to not even know who this girl is when he first gets on the island.
Yes, you know it.
Now, what are you saying? You're saying that she is not from the island.
That's right, she's not from here. No, you'll get Morrison's and Lewis and a few in Mull. I would try there.
Thank you. None of us has seen Mae Morrison's daughter, Rowan, since last year. She's only 12 and she's been missing from her home for many months. The mother's name is Mae Morrison.
Oh, Mae! She quite slipped my memory. Of course we've got Mae. She keeps the post office in the High Street.
Mae Morrison, you're quite sure?
Quite sure.
Well, thank you for your help.
That's not May's daughter, though.
No, she's not May's. Then who is she?
So Mae Morrison, she is supposedly the mother of Rowan. We're not sure yet. And she runs the town, the village, post office, and candy shop. So Sergeant Howie, he visits her, compliments her on the rabbits, because she's making, she's got a variety of candies shaped like pagan treats of rabbits. And in fact, Sergeant Howie asks about the rabbits, and she clarifies, says they're hares. Because as you see in the history of pagan occultism, Ostara, that is the Easter Bunny, right? That's where the Easter Bunny comes from, is a pagan belief system. Ostara was also the name of the magazine published that inspired Adolf Hitler. Little known fact. Now her daughter, Mae Morrison, her daughter that is there, her name is Meadow, and she is drawing a hare. Sergeant Howie has a little back and forth with her. But the point here is that if you notice, all the characters in the movie have pagan type names, usually nature based, flowers, trees, a Rowan tree, right? So Sergeant Howie goes to the Green Man Inn. Again, this is a pagan concept, right? The Green Man is the symbol, the archetype for the rebirth of spring. And it's also used to represent the horned god of Wicca. And when he gets to the Green Man Inn, well, he meets the landlord.
This is my daughter, Willow.
Good evening.
Show the sergeant to his room, would you?
Much has been said of the strumpets of yore, of wenches and baldy house queens by the score, but I sing of the baggage that we all adore. The landlord's daughter, you'll never love another. Although she's not the kind of girl to take home to your mother.
Her ale it is lively and strong to the test.
It is brewed with discretion, never with haste.
You can have all you like if you swear not to waste.
The landlord's daughter, and when her name is mentioned,
the pants of every gentleman do stand up at attention.
Landlord has a daughter, and her name is Willow. Again, reference to the nature names there. Played by actress Britt Eklund. She was a very ugly woman who was with some prominent men in entertainment in her days. She was the most, again, Wikipedia says she was the most photographed woman in the 1970s. She was with such men as Peter Sellers, Hot Rod Stewart, Lou Adler, Phil Lewis from the L.A. Guns, and Slim Jim Phantom from the Stray Cats. And she plays the role of Willow in the film. And in the book, there is the female equivalent is Anna Sparks. She is an over-sexualized young woman who tries to get with the Sergeant Howie equivalent in the book as well. Now, you may be saying, well, what's wrong with all this? What's wrong with the sexy time? Nothing, right? These occultists, though, you could argue, they look at sex in a different way. They look at it in a metaphysical sort of way. They believe that you could use sex magic, the energy that is released during the time of orgasm, can be used to cause great changes in the universe. The sex magic. Also, you could use it for contact with the divine, contact with the gods. The Apollonian rituals, the orgies, which you actually see in the film in the next scene. Because after Sergeant Howie has his dinner and afters, as they call it, I don't know, you know, there's a lot of strange English speak that I'm not familiar with. Afters, I believe, is a reference to dessert. And anyways, he has his afters, and then he walks past the cemetery, and there's, again, these people having group sex. Nothing abnormal about that, right? Right in the cemetery. And there's a man watering the tombstones. Now, in the book, it is similar to the film where the protagonist here, Sergeant Howie's equivalent, and I don't want to get names confusing, but his name is David Hanlon in the book. He's going around this village, and he's noticing a lot of weird occult activity, but he's unable to put his finger on what exactly is happening. The locals are trying to deceive him. So Sergeant Howie, he sees all the crazy tombstone sex and then goes back to the Green Man Inn to get his room. And when he goes to bed that night, it's very curious because in the film, he starts sort of flashing back or having a dream to his some time spent praying in a church. And what's curious is that in the church, you see skull and crossbones, which I've never seen a skull and crossbones inside of a church. I'm not saying that that is impossible, but that's what you see in the film. Because I found that very curious because I usually associate that with Freemasonry or the Yale skull and bones. They all use the same symbolism. And it also appears later in this film, The Wicker Man, in a different cemetery, and it says Memento Mori, which is all about reflecting on life and death, reflecting on death in order to appreciate life. And I think little Zan got that tattooed on his face, didn't he? Right below his eyes. I could be wrong on that. Not a big fan of the little Zan. So that night, Sergeant Howie's in bed. He's having his dreams of church because he's a puritanical virgin in this whole time, right? He's very high and mighty, very stiff. No pun intended. But that night, Willow, she is the landlord's daughter, right? She beckons to him through the wall. Subconsciously, he's understanding she's on the other side of the wall. She's singing to him. He struggles. He wants to get it in, but he fights back because his puritanical values will not allow such a thing, which is what happens in the book as well. He's also trying to get it in. Now, the next morning, Sergeant Howie, he wakes up and he and Willow kind of inquires about why he didn't come over, and, you know, he says he's too good for that, whatever, whatever. So then the next scene, he's going into town, and he sees the Maypole dance ritual.
In the woods there grew a tree, and a fine, fine tree was he. And on that tree there was a limb, and on that limb there was a branch, and on that branch there was a nest, and in that nest there was an egg, and in that egg there was a bird, and from that bird a feather came, and of that feather was a bed. And on that bed there was a girl, and on that girl there was a man, and from that man there was a seed, and from that seed there was a boy, and from that boy there was a man, and for that man there was a grave, and from that grave there grew a tree.
Scene shows the children dancing around the maypole, which is a ritual, a ceremony sort of thing that continues to this day. But back in the day, back when they did this, they called it Beltane or May Day. It traditionally marks the beginning of summer, and they used to light bonfires in order to clear out all the dead vegetation to make way for the new. The rebirth time in spring. And I also believe that Adolf Hitler died on April 30th or May 1st. Some people claiming that he faked his death. And he also was giving a nod to the ancient pagan holidays, the holy days. Now, some writings I've read claim that Beltane is when you light the Baal fires, and the Baal fires are a reference to the Baal fires. Baal being the Moloch god, the deity that you would sacrifice children to in a burning flame. Supposedly these are all the same thing, which, as you'll see at the end of the film, has very relevant portrayals. Now, after we see and hear the young children playing at the maypole, we see Sergeant Howie going to walking past the classroom, and we find out from the teacher of this classroom what this sex-crazed island is all about. All this penis talk is about the generative force of nature.
Now, Daisy, will you tell us what it is, please, that the maypole represents? Really, Daisy, you've been told often enough.
He's wrong. I know.
All right, then, anybody?
Phallic symbol.
The phallic symbol. That is correct. It is the image of the penis, which is venerated in religions such as ours as symbolizing the generative force in nature.
Now, this generative force of nature, we see it with the obelisk, same symbol. It's the phallic representation. Even on this movie, on the island, you see the bushes shaped like dicks. They've got a penis obsession. Now, the classroom is also, you can see on the chalkboard, they're learning about the Toadstone and the Hag Stone. Again, these are all sort of witchcrafty pagan ideas. Sergeant Howie opens up the attendance book and sees the names of all the people, all the kids that go to class. And again, we confirm they're all nature-related names. And if one should doubt the connections to Beltane, we see on the book that it is the Beltane term. Now, so, and by the way, I'm gonna do this a couple ways. I'm gonna have images from the film that I'm talking about. I'm gonna post them on IlluminatiWatcher.com for this particular show, this article, this analysis, as it were. I'm gonna make a little video, which will have the video clips. I'm gonna upload that to my Vimeo. Again, you can find it on the same article on IlluminatiWatcher.com. I'll try to put it on YouTube. They'll probably ban it. They'll probably, at best, put ads on it for someone else to claim, which is fine. They won't let me put ads on it. I don't care. I don't know what they're going to do. Sometimes they give me copyright strikes. We'll try it, though. Let's see what happens. So if you want images and supporting sort of visuals for this discussion, check out IlluminatiWatcher.com. And you can watch the embed Vimeo video. Don't even mess with YouTube. YouTube is stupid. Sergeant Howie. What's that Sergeant Howie doing? He asked the teacher about Rowan, the missing girl. And she says that even the teacher's hot in this movie. I don't know where this island is. All these hot old cougar moms here. But he asked the teacher about Rowan, and she says that they believe in reincarnation, and then he asks her why they don't practice Christianity on the island, and she dismisses it. She calls it a comparative religion, and that Christianities believe that we just die and rot in the ground, whereas in their belief system, they believe souls are reborn into nature. Which is a very sort of interesting topic nowadays, because a lot of people subscribe to this sort of idea of the spiritualism and stacking up karma and, you know, seeing what happens in the next life. And look, I don't know if they're right or wrong. Like, I don't subscribe to that, but how do I know? I haven't died and come back to life yet, so I couldn't tell you what really happens on the other side. So Sergeant Howie eventually asked to speak with the minister, and they, after a good hearty laugh at that, they get him over to the mayor of Sex Island here, Lord Summer Isle. And when he gets to Lord Summer Isle's estate, you can see a birth dance ritual going on with this little mini Stonehenge on the property. Lord Summer Isle reveals that they are practicing parthenogenesis, you know, referring to the naked girls dancing at the Stonehenge. And that is a reference to impregnation without sexual contact. And they have a little back and forth, a little banter, if you will. And it's funny because Lord Summer Isle kind of draws the very similar conclusion that Sergeant Howie has of, well, you know, he believes in a virgin birth also, so who's to say, right? And they talk about how the island was built on the pagan ritual grounds right over top of the churches. Now, we can't ignore the fact that Lord Summer Isle is played by Christopher Lee. He is the now deceased actor who was the Hammer horror film Dracula and researcher of the occult, apparently. He passed away in 2015, not so ironically, at the age of 93, the number of Thelema, Aleister Crowley. But prior to that, at a lecture in University College Dublin in 2011, he warned of the dangers of dabbling in the occult.
I have met people who claimed to be Satanists, who claimed to be involved with black magic, who claimed that they not only knew a lot about it, but as I said, I've certainly never been involved, and I warn all of you, never, never, never. You will not only lose your mind, you lose your soul.
And in the 1970s, he was asked about the occult, and he was spitting all kinds of knowledge about it.
Do you regard black magic as being purely fictitious, or is there some truth in it?
Some truth. 100% truth. There is nothing fictitious about black magic in any way whatever. It is a fact. It is a fact which has existed for several thousand years. I mean, when we talk about black magic, we are talking about Satanism, necromancy, alchemy, witchcraft, the worship of Satan, the worship of dark forces, whether it's voodoo, juju, whether it's something practiced in the Western world or the Eastern world, whether it's easily defined or not easily defined, the order of the left-hand path, the following of this, the following of that. It is basically the worship of the force of evil as embodied by Satan, Lucifer, the princes of darkness and their legions and so on. In a very simple sense, of course, goes much more deeply than that. It is a fact. It is a desperately dangerous fact. It does exist. It exists around us today. Satanic ceremonies will be happening in Britain tonight. Very definitely. Ask any priest, ask any member of the forces of law and order, and they will tell you that Satanism as such, it's there, and it has been for thousands of years. Man has worshipped the devil longer than he has worshipped, perhaps, an established religious figure.
Do you think you're in any danger in mimicking it in front of the camera?
No, that's an interesting question, because I must admit that it did enter our minds when we were performing some of these ceremonies. You see, I am playing, as I told you, a priest. The various ceremonies that are carried out by the priest, in this case myself, and the members of his group or coven, are blasphemous ceremonies, totally blasphemous and totally profane. They have to be, that is to say, they must be profane and blasphemous to be effective. This is part of the ritual and part of the belief of these people, that in order to make any kind of ceremony totally effective, it must be the exact diametrical opposite of the real ceremony. That is to say, if you make the sign of the cross, you do it like that, upside down. If you are going to carry out a satanic ceremony, whether it's a baptism or a particular group of people doing something like trying to raise an elemental or trying to create the perfect situation for an evil spirit or trying to produce evil vibrations and so on, they plug in, so to speak, the force of evil like plugging in on a switchboard, a telephone. In order for this to be effective, it must be carried out, as I've already said, by a consecrated person, i.e. a priest, and it must also be carried out on consecrated ground. Now, in this film, I, as a priest, am carrying out these ceremonies, like baptism, in the name of the Dark Lord, in a real church.
But I'm sure he was just joking. Just for a fact, right? That's what all these people do. Oh, they don't really believe this stuff. It's all just a show, fun and games. And Christopher Lee's occult connections, may I argue, are worth doing an entire show. Especially considering that he was step cousins with Ian Fleming. You know, the guy who wrote the James Bond 007 series? The British intelligence agents that worked with Aleister Crowley when he was in doing the British intel stuff? The ones that, 007, of course, takes us back to John Dee. He signed his letters 007. The astrologer that worked for Queen Elizabeth. And also, Christopher Lee would appear alongside Britt Eklund the next year in Man with a Golden Gun, 1974. And prior to all that, Christopher Lee was in The Devil Rides Out, a film based upon Dennis Wheatley, who was a friend of Christopher Lee, which featured Charles Gray as Makata, a character that Ian Fleming said he based on Aleister Crowley. Charles Gray, of course, featured in my analysis of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Mr. No Neck. Now, Lord Summer Isle reveals that his family actually established this pagan island with this fake belief in devotion to the gods in order for them to harvest the foods from the island.
In the hope that the god of the fire will make them fruitful. Really, you can hardly blame them.
After all, what girl would not prefer the child of a god to that of some acne-scarred artisan?
And you encourage them in this?
Actively. It's most important that each new generation born on Summer Isle be made aware that here the old gods aren't dead.
And what of the true god, whose glory churches and monasteries have been built on these islands for generations past? Now, sir, what of him?
Well, he's dead. He can't complain. He had his chance, and in modern parlance, blew it.
What?
It's very simple. Let me show you. In the last century, the islanders were starving. Like our neighbors today, they were scratching a bare subsistence from sheep and sea. Then in 1868, my grandfather bought this barren island and began to change things. A distinguished Victorian scientist, agronomist, freethinker. How formidably benevolent he seems. Essentially the face of a man incredulous of all human good.
You're very cynical, my lord.
What attracted my grandfather to the island, apart from the profuse source of wiry labor that it promised, was the unique combination of volcanic soil and the warm Gulf Stream that surrounded it. You see, his experiments had led him to believe that it was possible to induce here the successful growth of certain new strains of fruit that he had developed. So, with typical mid-Victorian zeal, he set to work. Best way of accomplishing this, so it seemed to him, was to rouse the people from their apathy by giving them back their joyous old gods. And that as a result of this worship, the barren island would burgeon and bring forth fruit in great abundance. What he did, of course, was to develop new cultivars of hardy fruit suited to local conditions. Well, of course, to begin with, they worked for him because he fed them and clothed them. But then later, when the trees started fruiting, it became a very different matter. And the ministers fled the island, never to return.
Sergeant Howe, he goes to the library after this, and he learns of the rituals of May Day.
We carry death out of the village. We carry death.
May Day festivals.
Primitive man lived and died by his harvest. The purpose of his spring ceremonies was to ensure a plentiful autumn. Relics of these fertility dramas are to be found all over Europe. In Great Britain, for example, one can still see harmless versions of them danced in obscure villages on May Day. Their cast includes many alarming characters. A man, animal, or hobby horse who canters at the head of the procession, charging at the girls. A man, woman, the sinister teaser, played by the community leader or priest. And a man, fool, Punch, most complex of all the symbolic figures. The privileged simpleton and king for a day. Six swordsmen follow these figures and at the climax of the ceremony lock their swords together in a clear symbol of the sun. In pagan times, however, these dances were not simply picturesque jigs. They were frenzied rites ending in a sacrifice by which the dancers hoped desperately to win over the goddess of the fields. In good times, they offered produce to the gods and slaughtered animals. But in bad years, when the harvest had been poor, the sacrifice was a human being.
How creepy is this? He says that the priest wears the skin of the sacrifice goddess, wears it around to represent the goddess reborn. What is going on? Is that what inspired all those serial killers like Ed Gein to make lampshades out of people's skin? Leatherface from Texas Chainsaw Massacre? Now here, Sergeant Howie is planning on leaving the island to come back with more authorities. And of course, sabotage, the plane doesn't start. And here's where we start to see the celebrations of May Day. All the villagers are wearing these very creepy animal masks, very anthropomorphic, which is what you see in the Church of Satan satanic rituals. It's what you see in the leaked photos of the Rothschild avant-garde dinner party. Now, Sergeant Howie grabs the barkeep, you know, the landlord, and he... Well, let me back up. Sorry, you probably missed a part here. So, he's trying to leave the island, doesn't make it off. goes back to the hotel, says he's going to take a little napsky. And then he overhears the landlord and his daughter talking about how they're going to, you know, render him unconscious. Now, we'll find out later that that was probably a deceptive, purposefully done dialogue in order for him to think that he should not partake of the festivities, which we'll find out is part of the problem. Now, Sergeant Howie, he sneaks up on the barkeep, the landlord, and busts him in the head with a candlestick and puts on the full costume. They call it Punch. And Punch ends up going through the death and rebirth as the king of the day by the end of this film.
You are the fool, Mr. Howie. Punch, one of the great fool victims of history. For you have accepted the role of king for a day. And who but a fool would do that? But you will be revered and anointed as a king. You will undergo death and rebirth. Resurrection, if you like. The rebirth, sadly, will not be yours, but that of our crops.
I am a Christian. And as a Christian, I hope for resurrection. And even if you kill me now, it is I who will live again. Not your damned apples.
And you can see, right before he is given up as the sacrifice, the teacher, she makes an inverted cross on Sergeant Howie's half-naked body with the dots on his nips and his forehead and his stomach. And side note, what's curious here is this film, apparently during this time period, the British film industry wasn't doing so hot. And to save some money, they had to hurry up and get this film out. They filmed it in October. And it's supposed to be obviously taking place in May. And you can tell in this final scene how cold everybody is, especially Sergeant Howie. He's got some like serious rock tit. But Sergeant Howie, and here we're getting near the end of the film here, folks. Sergeant Howie tries to out Lord Summerisle. He tries to get him to acknowledge what he had told him in private, that the true understanding of what's going on this island, and that the crops failed because of the environment, not because of some god or goddess. But of course, to no avail. The sacrifice of the fool is to be accepted.
Oh God! Oh Jesus Christ! Oh my God! Christ! No, no, dear God! No, Christ!
Now, we find the final scene here. He goes up into the Wicker Man, right? And this is a reference to Julius Caesar's account of the Druids of Gaul. They put a sacrifice in this big, giant, wooden, skeleton? This big, giant, wooden skeleton in order to keep the gods happy. These were all the Druids and such. Keep the crops a-flowing. And we see this with the modern-day Western version of The Burning Man. It's the same thing. Because we don't need to sacrifice for the crops because we've got Cargill and Monsanto and the GMO Frankenfoods to always make us food. So we don't have to do that anymore. We just get the poison straight off the teat. But The Burning Man ritual festival, excuse me, that they do in the Nevada Black Rock Desert every year. Same thing. It started back in 1986 with the summer solstice burning of a ball fire, a bale fire. Again, this is all tied into the pagan holiday worships. And the first Burning Man was done in the name of radical self-expression. Little did he know that today, 30 years later, that the Burning Man would become a cotton candy vape fest with a bunch of bro Rogans popping DMT until they're talking to the aliens. And they also started burning up not just the Burning Man, the Wicker Man, but they also would, every year they create these temples that people would go in and put a personal offering inside, a sacrifice or a remembrance item. And I'm not talking about a human sacrifice or an animal or nothing like that. I mean, maybe that goes on. I don't know. That's officially not what happens. And I highly doubt anyone would allow that to happen. But yeah, this burning up of it's the cremation of care ceremony that we see at Bohemian Grove. It's the same thing. The idea of burning up in effigy a sacrifice for the big giant god, the big owl god is what they do at Bohemian Grove. And look, Burning Man actually, you know, inside scoop here, Burning Man actually looks pretty cool. I actually would like to check it out. It's on my bucket list. And why, you know, I don't know. I'm drawn to these things naturally, unfortunately, like a moth to the flame. I like hanging out with these occult hippies, even if I disagree with their views. They're a lot more fun than than my people, I guess. But I enjoy doing that stuff sometimes, you know? Is it dangerous? Absolutely. Could it suck me into the vortex of pagan occult worship? It could. You got to keep a clear head about these things. I'm a very complicated person, so. But if you look at, there's a lot of documentaries about Burning Man. They've got all these cool vehicles and this artwork. And then also, I enjoy EDM music, like I'm a 16-year-old raver girl still. It'll be more like Small Town Ecstasy. Did you ever see that on HBO? Small Town Ecstasy. About this like 40-year-old guy who's hanging out with his son at rave clubs and whatever. Anyways, that was a side tangent. Anyways, by the end of the book, we've got a different ending than we have at the end of the film. The end of the book, Sergeant Howie, the character's name is David Hanlon, same person though, the cop, he wakes up and he finds that he had actually thrusted his knife into the neck of Anna Sparks, his love, you know, not love interest, but like the Willow character. And throughout the book, he has to wear these sunglasses. Okay, now these are two very different weird ideas I just dropped on you. You probably are like, what the hell are you talking about? So let me try to wrap this up. So David Hanlon, throughout the book, he has to wear these sunglasses because he's got this eye condition. The sun hurts his eyes. But then by the end of the book, he doesn't have the glasses on. He puts them on in the final scene. And we find out that he was schizophrenic. And that he suffers from sun madness. In the book, they say, most of them go nutty by moonlight, but the sun got him. Now, what are we talking about here? And he was the killer the whole time. What we're talking about here is the enlightenment of David Hanlon. The light bearer, the Illuminati, if you will. Lucifer, the light bearer, opened the eyes. Just like the serpent in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. It's the same concept over and over and over again. In the book in chapter 7, I highlighted a passage here. There's talk about the devil versus God. Quote, dark and light are only of the mind. They are interchangeable. So what are we to make of this? Between the film and the book, and I'm mostly talking about the film, film's great. I love the film. So what is Wicker Man exactly? It is a great film, but what's interesting about it is you could be an occultist, watch it and enjoy it for one reason, or you could be a Christian and watching it, enjoying it for a different reason. You could witness the tragic martyrdom, much like the revered saints, of martyrdom being reenacted. Kind of like they did back at the foundations of Christianity, these saints, these martyrs, they died horrific deaths trying to spread the word of Christ in a world of pagan Romans and such. And some of them opted to die on the inverted cross because they understood that Jesus Christ was God and they weren't worthy to die upright on the cross like Jesus Christ. Now, maybe David Pinner's book, The Ritual, was right. It's all about perspective and intention. So I think the key here is you have to understand what it is your goals and your aims are. You have to understand and discern right from wrong. It's kind of like me going to Burning Man, okay? Would my priest say that's a good idea? Hell no, he would not. So I probably won't go, right? But I always wanted to, right? It looks fun. But the point is, it's about intention. And you have to be aware of what's happening. They are saturating all of the entertainment with these occult ideas. Much like with the aliens and the UFOs, which I don't want to make an announcement, but I'm writing a book about the alien agenda. This is a very controversial topic. Well, I'm planning on writing the book. I'm laying out my format right now because there's a lot to say about this, and I think this is the final epic battle here. I think they are trying to bring down Christianity and bring up the false atheist alien agenda, and I'll explain it all in the book. It'll make perfect sense. And look, I get it. Like, I'm like most people out there. Like, I want to know if aliens exist. I want to know. In fact, when my dad died, I would pray to have like a dream or a visitation like they talk about in all these shows and movies. And I want him to tell me if aliens existed on the other side. Tell me the truth, the secrets of the universe. I wish I could tell you that he did. I wish I could tell you a fun story about what he said, but I'm not supposed to know. That's the thing. We're not supposed to live forever. We're not supposed to be immortal. We're supposed to spend a limited time on this earth trying to evolve and grow as a human being in the image of Christ. What are we talking about here? We got off the subject here. We got off the rails. Aliens, yeah. So, I'm still trying to discern the truth on whether aliens exist or not. But anyways, I'm going to do a lot of research here in the next 3 to 6 to 10 months, whatever it is. Whatever it takes me to do, it's going to take me forever. Because there's a lot to get through on this. How do we end up talking about aliens? Talking about the Wicker Man. Talk about intention. What do you want to pursue? What are your beliefs? Like, I don't care what your beliefs are. Like, you don't have to defend it. You don't have to tell me you're a Muslim or a Christian or a Jew or an atheist or an occultist, like whatever. I just want you to be aware of the hidden symbolism in entertainment so you can make an informed decision. Tell me what you think. Leave a review on iTunes. I ask you every time, and I mean it every time, drop the review. You don't have to write anything. Tell me how many stars you think this show is worth to you. Do it right now. Pull it up. You scroll down a few inches. You'll find it. Tap those stars. Let me see what you think. Do you like the show? Should I keep going? Hell yeah, I'm going to keep going. Until next time, I want you to stay woke.